Hello, everyone. This is Kelly Beard of KarmicTools.com, and tonight is our monthly Power Circle gathering where we choose a topic to focus on, and tonight is asteroids, the sacred feminine, and that would be Ceres, Pallas, Juno, and Vesta. And right now, before we dive in, because it's going to get real deep, we're going to do some breath work. Let's call in the four directions and invite our benevolent angels and loving ancestors and Orisha, personal guides and helping spirits to be with us tonight. We each have a powerful invisible team that surrounds us and walks with us our entire lifetime, and it's even more potent when we bring them all together. Your team, my team, we're all together tonight. It's a big, big gathering besides just us. And we want to take an initial breath in, connecting above, below, and at the heart, and just getting present, letting go of the day for an hour, hour and 15 is not too much to ask to receive some guidance and wisdom. Deep breath in, connecting above, below, and at the heart. And hold and release. We're going to start at the heart chakra, breathing as if we're breathing through and from the heart, feeling that expansion, opening to receive that which is just for you this night. Here we honor the direction of east, an initiation point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the mind, and we activate the element of air. Here at this heart chakra, we want to breathe super deep. Picture a beautiful emerald green crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. Expand that heart and take a deep breath in. And hold and release. Come on down to your solar plexus, your power center. Here we honor the direction of south, a culmination point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the spirit, and we activate the element of fire. So here I want you to picture your favorite shade of gold or yellow crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. Take a deep cleansing breath in at your power center, connecting to your own I Am presence. Deep breath in. And hold and release. Come on down to your creative center, where we honor the direction of west, a completion point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the soul, and we activate the element of water. Here we connect to our energetic flow, our creative flow, our emotional flow. Here I want you to picture a beautiful orange crystal, your favorite shade of orange, infused with light from within and spinning brightly. And take a deep cleansing breath in at your creative center. And hold and release. Come on down to the root chakra, where we honor the direction of north as a conception point, where we access the inner wisdom of the body, and we activate the element of earth. And we be here now. Take a deep cleansing breath in, connecting to the nutrient, quality nutrient, that is just for you. Picture your favorite shade of red crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly, connecting you to source energy, and deep breath in. And hold and release. Okay, welcome, welcome, everyone. So grateful for those that could be here live to help me hold it down. The replay will go up on the YouTube and podcast channel, so everyone will have access to it later. But I am super excited. This year, you know, these ladies go backwards every year, but most of the time it's not all four of them. And all four of them are lingering in these various signs for 9 to 12 months, extending their stay in certain zones in our chart. So we check in annually with where are they at, what are they doing, and what might they be affecting. Tonight we're going to keep it embodied with the goddess energy. So we're just going to talk about the energies of each, a little bit of shadow material of each, and the divinations. And I really thought that the supermoon's call from last month came out nicely when we did the each of the five supermoons that are going to happen this year, I did the divinations with each of them. So instead of waiting till the end and doing all the divinations like we normally do, I'm going to do each one at a time. So that way, when we go back to review later, you can go to Sirius or Pallas or Juno or Vesta specifically to do your work. We're going to start out with Sirius, but I want to, oh, and then the other day I was doing an astro class with my elements class, and they asked for book recommendations, and it was so fun that I'm going to have to go in there and make a list, but this book should be on there. It's Asteroid Goddesses, The Mythology, Psychology, and Astrology of the Re-Emerging Feminine by Demetra George and Douglas Block. Now, back in the day, it was hard to find any books on asteroids or Chiron, including Chiron. Now, it's a little more common and people are a little more familiar. But Demetra George is the definitive one, and she has a website, so I can link that in the post called Goodies as well, so you all can get with her. She teaches classes and different things as well. But I love, 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 love her book. And if you saw the invitation or when you see the post called Goodies, you'll see it again. The symbol that I'm using there came out of this book. And she just made this amazing, gorgeous circle where she was able to include all four of the ladies with Venus in the middle because they're all related to our sacred feminine. So ultimately, everything we're going to talk about tonight has to do with you being able to contain, nurture, and protect your own life, your own creative projects, your own being, and what you're here for. And each one of them represents something different and unique. A lot of the feedback and what I believe is that they fill in the blanks. Most people are used to the basic seven planets, the regular astrology, mainstream astrology. When you get these ladies under your belt, you start to have a deeper knowing about who you are and what you want and how you want to move through this world, especially as women, but we probably do have a man or two on the call. And so this would be your feminine receptive nature, which honestly is really hard for men. I got to beat on my Taurus husband to just receive. They think being a man is about giving, providing, and being there to do all these other things. At least in my house, when I try to give a compliment or anything like that, it's really hard for him to receive. And I don't think Western culture allows that for the masculine. Again, we got to balance it out. Like, our feminine is too masculine and our masculines are too feminine. We got to get a little balance here. But these ladies will help us do that in our own embodiment with our own purpose. And so one of the things I love about her book also is that she breaks it down so many different ways. So with Sirius, in the Greek tradition, she's known as Demeter. Her character is the goddess of agriculture and the Eleusinian rites. I'm sure you all have seen this Eleusinian Mysteries. They have books, they have journals and calendars. I used to be really into it back in the day. And she's most well known as the Earth Mother because she has to do with our nurturing, how we nurture and like to be nurtured. So that's what we work with Sirius on. But she's so much richer than that, and we could do a full call on each one of these. So y'all got to just bear with me. I'm going to do my best to put a little bit on the table to wet your whistle. But if you want to go deeper, get the book for sure. Her principle is unconditional love, and her glyph, or her little symbol for my artists or my visual learners, is a sickle on top of a cross, and so it's blended with Venus. It's the gift of agriculture. She has these different symbols, so we want to look out for these and feel into when they show up and why. The sickle and plow, ears of wheat or corn, cornucopia, the poppy flower, which is solace for human grief, the pig, the torch, the crane bird. The polarities with Sirius are compassion and anger. That's where we go back and forth with Sirius. And these are just different things that Sirius works with throughout that have to do with, again, nurturing food. The signs that she's associated with are Cancer, Taurus Scorpio polarity, and Virgo. All of them are concerned with primal essential needs. Cancer, Taurus, Scorpio, and Virgo. They want it essential. They want it practical. They want it functional. And this is Sirius at her heart. So you can learn to understand her character if you know those signs really well. You know, she sort of rules them all in her own right, in her own way. Known as the universal mother in Cancer, of course, love and loving others, psychological complexes come up with Sirius, passivity complexes, food complexes, relationships complexes, parent-child complexes. So there's lots to work with there. Like we said, it's a psychology, mythology, and astrology up in here. So we love it all. And it gets deep. When she's ruling Taurus Scorpio, she's more about attachment and separation. You know, with Taurus Scorpio, we're always manifesting, or with Scorpio, destroying and starting from 0 point again, that conception point. And a lot of times I'll even describe Taurus Scorpio as Taurus being the food and flowers and the life that Mother Earth is. But Scorpio is the breath of God that breathes life into all that. It's the invisible part. So this is the invisible, visible nature of Sirius that we want to maybe tap into or invite a little more understanding, wisdom of. With Taurus Scorpio, she works with a lot of death and dying. And the principle of sharing, because Taurus is how you do your own resources, but Scorpio is how you share resources with others. And that gets deep as well. So renewal is a big possibility with her. When she's ruling Virgo, it's all about growth and productivity, the efficient functioning, your work, you know, is all very deep. And so her occult teachings, they say, have to do with the death passage. So you know me and all this is very up my alley. The blood mysteries. And she's got all kinds of other good juju in here. So what I did also is I picked a goddess card from the goddess knowledge cards. And the only one I couldn't find an exact replica of was Vesta. Vesta is Vesta and Hestia, the closest thing that we had in here. Well, you know, Artemis was known as a virgin goddess too. So we could use Artemis or the high priestess. I don't know. Yeah, I picked the high priestess. But Demeter is Ceres. Demeter in the goddess knowledge cards says, Demeter is an ancient Greek great mother goddess, a goddess of life and death. The Greeks emphasized her role as goddess of the cultivated earth, the giver of fruitfulness and abundance, and provider of the gift of agriculture. She and her daughter Persephone, called by the Greeks the goddesses, together represent the continuous cycle of life and death, the two phases of the vegetative power of the earth. Demeter is remembered primarily for her great love for her daughter. When Persephone was abducted by Hades, Demeter's grief caused the whole earth to go barren. Here we see Demeter ready to give birth, to produce life. Demeter offers a blessing of fruitfulness and possibility, of coming joy, of abundant life, and of hope. So that is all serious juju that we can tap into as we're learning, or let's say resetting how we nurture and ourselves and others, how we take care of ourselves in that way. What we're looking at specifically is how she is lingering in Capricorn this year. She entered Capricorn February 7th, and she doesn't hit Aquarius until December 7th. So that's a solid 10 months where she's in Capricorn, rearranging things in that zone of your life, asking you to reset how you nurture that part of yourself. Okay, so for me, it's second house of earnings, wealth, and possessions, but it's your values and priorities. So it's what do I really want to nurture and develop? What do I care about in this moment? And then apply it to that house and that area of life. I also put down in the divinations how we, you know, each one is something. Sirius, we nurture. Pallas, we heal. Juno, we commit. Vesta, we focus. So we're in Sirius, we're nurturing. Think about, as she's restructuring things in Capricorn, your structure and organization. Where are you grounded and practical, or where do you need to be? Where could you simplify so you could actually have a better quality of life, right? If we didn't have so many obligations and things to do and people we thought were pulling on our apron strings who really could probably live without us very well and easily, and we wouldn't be missed, you could actually increase, I think, your quality of life. Nurturing your creative projects is huge here because, of course, Capricorn has a lot to do with manifesting and making real and creating a form for your creative babies. So what are you nurturing in that way? And let's nurture and nourish and feed into whatever your definition is and wherever you need it, stability and longevity. Okay, that is our favorite thing about Capricorn. The shadow aspects of things that could come up right now is defining security by your job or your achievements or using your achievements to impress others or get recognition. It's kind of a need for outer validation. We don't want to do that. We want to come from the inside and be authentic and know that we can stand on whatever. And everybody doesn't have to get it. Everybody doesn't have to agree. Everybody, you know, I don't have to agree with you to love you. I can still love you and disagree with you. It's all good. So we don't really need to do that. That's a shadow side of Sirius being insecure, not being fed, bills not being paid, all that shadow Capricorn stuff that makes us crazy in the monetary system. Or it's also a little shadow of how you take care of others. Because like I said, in this zone, we end up feeling overly obligated to other people. And that can always use a reset, right? So that led to the divination. I pulled three goddesses. We're doing it the same way with each of these asteroids. But I did one for reset, one for release, and one for reclaim. And that's just what Spirit gave me that day. So we're doing this from Abiola Abrams' African Goddess Rise Oracle deck. And for the reset, we got number three, which is Sote and grounding. So this is what we need to reset with Sirius and Capricorn lingering for so long. It's important that we reset our grounding. Again, by your own definition, whatever works for you, what is supportive of your nature that doesn't violate. Because so many of us, you know, for years and years, it was accepted to violate your nature just to go to work and not be yourself. Now, this Aquarian age, everybody has to be transparent, everybody has to be one, and they want you to be the same person here, there, and everywhere. I think there should be some boundaries between private and public. But I don't think your essential nature should change or be violated just to get your paycheck. Like, I think that's just crazy American nonsense. So deep breath. Sote gives us some goodness. She is from South Africa, the Temple of Ancestors, the element of bush. You may know the great ancestress as Sarah Bartman, the woman forced to perform as the Hottentot Venus in 19th century London. But before that, she was Sote, a girl in South Africa who deserved better. Her guidance says, protect your magic. Your heart is your own. Your body is your own. Your mind is your own. This is where we're resetting. Your truth and story are your own. Be rooted in your truth. Create healthy boundaries. Ashe. The embodiment says, your energy is unsteady. Breathe. Come into the present. That's another thing. If we're stressed about the past, then we're stuck. And if we're stressed about the future, we're causing anxiety. It's just we got to get present as often as possible. And one of my mantras for years was, in this moment, I'm fine. In this moment, I have shelter. In this moment, I have food. In this moment, I'm okay. And so you calm your body down when you do that, because your body doesn't know the difference. You tell it this is what we're doing, that's what they think we're doing. So we really want to come into the present and say out loud, I am here. Trauma, stress, overwhelm, anxiety, and fear disconnect you from your body. Grounding keeps you present. When you feel rootless or unsettled, come back to your breath. Meditation and breathwork are grounding. Try earthing, connecting your feet to soil. Free writing, clapping, stomping, and rubbing your hands together are all grounding practices. I love it. The declaration says, I am firmly planted and deeply rooted. Ashe. So we're going to reset our grounding. We're going to release number 21, another three, Sukuyong. She represents scarcity in here. And if you have your own decks, of course, do some confirmation. Ask some specific questions about your needs. Here we are releasing the Shadow of Scarcity. She is from Trinidad, the Temple of Shadows, the element of air. Beauty by day and hag by night. The Sukuyong is an energy vampire, also known throughout the diaspora as Boo Hag. Whether energy or blood, for vampires there is never enough to go around. Her guidance says, you have so much more than you realize. You have access to unlimited joy, love, good times, pleasures, and prosperity. Be grateful for your riches. Deep breath. That's another thing. Gratitude always unlocks more. The embodiment says, stop going to the ocean and asking for a thimbleful of water. It doesn't feel like it when you're desperate, but scarcity and lack are an illusion. Prosperity is believing that there is an overflow, more than enough love, more than enough happiness, well-being, and money to go around. Vampires take from others because they don't have enough life force for themselves. That is scarcity consciousness. When you embody lack, you are always hungry, always tired, and often jealous. Make a gratitude list. What are you grateful for right now? The declaration says, my blessings always overflow. So we're going to release scarcity consciousness with Sirius, okay? So think of that food, sex, and money. There's never enough with that zone. And we're going to reclaim Tani. She is all about pleasure, and she's number 11. She is from Tunisia, the temple of conjurers and the element of air. She was the goddess of the stars in ancient Carthage. Today, all the way over in Ibiza, they still have pleasure-filled full moon midnight table dancing parties in her name. You are thirsty for more pleasure. You cannot thrive when life feels dry. You are made of laughter and stardust, not sawdust. Pleasure is your birthright, a gift from the universe. Deep breath. Embodiment says, how much juicy pleasure can you stand? Turn up the pleasure principle. You secretly feel that you do not deserve it, but pleasure is a healing and manifesting force. Laughing, loving, and orgasmic joy is holy, Ashe. Hold your hands over your reproductive area and say aloud, I deserve pleasure, now and always. The declaration says it feels good to feel good. Deep breath. So we are resetting our grounding, releasing our scarcity, and reclaiming our pleasure with Sirius in Capricorn for this year of 2024. Now we could take a little pause between each one. Does anyone want to touch base about Sirius and nurturing yourself and how that might look in your Capricorn department? Kimberly, you got anything to say about these numbers? All of them. Oh, okay, come on.
Yes, I heard the 3 and the 21. I think I paid attention on that last one to when you had said, you know, that she was holding, you know, her sacral area and saying the words. And, of course, that to me is right now. 3 is all about creation. 3 is all about joy. And I'm always telling myself I am creating the joy in my life. And I deserve joy. I deserve happiness. I deserve the creation of great things. And so I love all of those numbers. Yes.
Thank you. All right, darling. Thank you, darling. So now we shift to Miss Pallas. Now, Miss Pallas is doing something a little different. She's going back and forth through Scorpio and Sag. So she has doubled down on what we need to heal in this year while she does that. It also means that she's going to hit your Scorpio Sag zones, which may, by default, hit other things, right? With Scorpio, it'd be Taurus Scorpio, Leo Aquarius. With Sag, it would be Gemini Sag and Virgo Pisces, where it gets a little intense. But for us, we want to look at, in the goddess book, Miss Pallas, according to Demetra, she is the principle of creative intelligence. Her character is the goddess of wisdom and justice, the protectress of the state. Her glyph is a spear of the protectress, so she does have a spear, but her glyph is actually a diamond on top of a cross. We love that. Her symbols are the owl, the serpent, the olive tree, shield and the spear, very powerful symbols, distaff, and the aegis with Gorgon's head. Her sign associations are Libra, Leo, and Aquarius. Oh, and you know what? I think I forgot the polarities. I love these. I played with these for years in the Venus circle. The polarities with Pallas Athena is courage and fear. So when she is moving through as the wisdom keeper, right, she's activating our creative intelligence, our prismatic perspective where we can see the various facets of things. She's known for bringing the arts and this. They don't teach it anymore, but they used to teach civics in school so that we would learn how the government works. She represents the arts, the significator of the healing arts. This is why she represents healing, your unique genius, and again, with your perspective and how you see things in the world. It's your own natural wisdom. She's also a politician. She's all about the politics and justice and fairness in the world and on a worldly, detached from the everyday human emotions level. Like when we list these ladies, Pallas is probably the most masculine of all the four, even though it's feminine wisdom that she represents. But she's very air in her head. It's different. It's not as embodied as the other three are. She represents how we work that being a woman in a man's world. She also brings up the androgyny and the gender fluidity and things that she brings up as well. Sexual identity imbalances, the father complexes, fear of success, winning and losing, creativity versus love, and soul work, of course. So these are things that you can go deeper on your own, asking for guidance with Pallas on what you need to do these things and to engage on a deeper level. And I want to go from there to our goddess from the Goddess Knowledge cards. Athena is presented by the Greeks as the virgin goddess of war and wisdom. A symbol of courage and friendship, she often counsels warriors to gentleness. She is especially honored as a goddess of agriculture, the creator of the olive tree, the flute, the ship, goldsmithing, and shoemaking, and the goddess who introduced the yoke for the oxen and the bridle for the horse. You see how practical she is? She is a patron of all useful and elegant arts. In Greek mythology, Athena is said to have breathed soul into the men created by Prometheus and to have helped Prometheus steal fire from the heavens to give to the men. Athena is a wonderful affirmation that there are no limits to what a woman can do or what a person can do with their intellect and creative ability. That's what she's your intellectual genius, your capacity for that, intelligence. And everyone has their own unique kind of intelligence, right? We don't all know everything about everything, but there's a natural, instinctive, intuitive, empathic, psychic part of you that knows things. It's really, that's part of her domain as well. And actually, these first three are all the same, so I guess I can just go ahead and say it. I forgot to say that the last time Ceres was in Capricorn was 2019, and the next time's 2028, 29. And the same thing with Pallas. The last time she was in Scorpio Sag was 2019, and the next time will be 28, 29. And Juno, the last time she was in Virgo, was 2019, and the next time will be 28. See how those three are all pretty much in alignment with basic patterns. And then Vesta is quicker. She's got a shorter cycle, where the others are 5-year cycle. She's more like a 4-year cycle. So the last time she was in Gemini Cancer was 2020, and the next time will be 2027. However, I went digging, because that's me and my cycles thing, y'all, to see the last time they actually retrograded in these same places. And Ceres, the last time it retrograded in Capricorn was 2001. So that's a long time ago. Same thing for Pallas and Scorpio Sag. The last time it retrograded over that zone was 2001. Juno was different. It looks like the last time it retrograded in Virgo was 2010-11. But the last time Vesta retrograded in Gemini Cancer was 1994. So you see how there's these long periods before they linger. And this year's a year that they linger. So we need to really think about that when we're applying what we're talking about tonight. So with Pallas, we want to heal, was kind of the way I broke it down. We want to heal our perspective on power while she's in Scorpio. Then I also broke it down further. I got a couple for Scorpio, a couple for Sag. For Scorpio, Pallas and Scorpio, we want to heal our perspective on power. We want to heal on a cellular level. Think about how regenerative creatures we are. We can use sex to heal, tantra, or any kind of form of artistic expression. Using sexuality, sensuality as the guide is healing. And I actually did this in my marriage when we were on the rocks. In 05 to 07, I spent a solid 2 years using sex to heal because we didn't have any other connection at the time. And so I really used it. He had illnesses. He broke things and cut himself. There were all kinds of ways that I did this energy work on him that wasn't limited to but included sex. And so you can shift that energy to healing certain things when you shift the focus. We're healing our psychic ability, our perception, and our filters as it moves through Scorpio, because the shadow is suppression, repression, and oppression all day long. And we just can't have that. So any clearing that needs to be done while they're retrograding and lingering in these zones, doubling down in the Scorpio Sag zone, just know that you're getting a huge upgrade. Huge, huge, huge. As she does her thing, moving back and forth through Sag, we're healing any kind of wounds that came to you around wisdom, research, or education. Think how certain factions don't want us to know certain things. They want to block that. Or past lives of being females weren't allowed to go to school, we weren't allowed to learn. Those wounds that we carry with us, or the fear of not knowing enough or being smart enough or good enough in the intellectual realms gets tricky here. So we're healing, we're doing mental health, of course, healing our spiritual practices, looking at any tests of faith to do a little cleanup there. What do you believe to be true or possible? How often do you engage your soul and spirit to confirm and validate what's going on around you? And we're healing our personal code, integrity, any need for expansion and diversity. If you've been really limited, I don't know about y'all, but I get really tired of the same thing over and over and over the same way. You know, I like diversity on every level of my life. The shadow of Pallas and Sag is self-righteousness and dogmatic thinking, thinking there's only one way or one truth. That gets limiting too, honey. That doesn't work in the long term. And so our good goddess support for Miss Pallas and all of this work we need to do, and basically think soul and spirit. I think of Scorpio as raw truth and Sag as higher truth. So Pallas is cleaning up our intelligence. How do we operate and make certain choices? They're usually based on our perception. So what's going on with your perception or your perspective on life these days? Is it my cup is half full, half empty? How is it looking? Are you more negative or positive about your outlook on life? Just for you, we won't even worry about the social collective. But here, let's think about what we're doing. On the reset, release, and reclaim with Miss Pallas, we're resetting truth, releasing resistance, and reclaiming liberation. So we start with resetting truth with Noonday number 34. Noonday is from Benin, the temple of griots, the element of water. She is the bold, outspoken wife of Benin Iwa, a deity. Legba was feeling neglected by her husband. Even with several wives, his head easily turned. So Noonday lived her truth, took her own lover, and became her own best friend. Deep breath. Her guidance says, get real. What is your truth? Truth-telling matters. Okay, so I have that Sag rising. Anyone with Sag in them knows we are the truth seekers and the truth speakers. And they are not always welcome, at least in first. Later, we're appreciated deeply, I promise. What were we saying? Truth-telling matters. Being able to hear the truth matters just as much. Okay, deep breath. The embodiment says, tell the truth. Each person has their own version. Speak yours. Words have impact. Remember that we all have triggers. Therefore, before you speak and listen, do it with compassion. Be gentle and stay calm in truth-telling conversations. That's very important, too. The declaration says, the truth is my friend, Ashe. So we're going to reset the truth. What is the truth? What do you believe in your soul? What's real for you? For our releasing resistance, we got Gong Gong Sarah, number 20. Shadow of Resistance. She's from Tobago, the Temple of Shadows, the element of bush. Shadow goddess Gong Gong Sarah, the witch of Golden Lane, blew into Tobago on a determined breeze from West Africa in order to emancipate her family. Her guidance says, you are scared that you are going to mess it all up. You may have stumbled, but this is a new day. Learn to show up for yourself. Okay, this is one of my big things, too. Keeping your word to yourself is so vital. We keep our word. We bend over backwards to keep our word to everyone else. But think how many times you've let yourself down. Let's reset that. Where are we? Let's release that. Let's not do that anymore. The embodiment says, you ghost your own dreams and resist your own magic. Stop holding back, worrying, and pretending to seek perfection that will never come. When it comes to you stepping into your greatness, resistance keeps you stuck. Resistance blocks growth, creativity, and evolution. Resistance may look like procrastination, laziness, disorganization, excuses, or lack of motivation. But there are deeper forces at play. You are resisting the force that you really are. We never want to do that. The declaration says, this is me, I show up. So let's release that resistance in our Scorpio Sag realms and reclaim liberation with Queen Mother Nanny, number 37. She's the goddess of liberation from the Maroons in Jamaica, the Temple of Queens, element of fire. Queen Mother Nanny of the Maroons was a spiritual leader, military strategist, and revolutionary. This Ashanti healer was brought to Jamaica in chains and escaped to lead rebellions. Nanny helped to free over 800 enslaved people. Her guidance says, break free. Your dreams hold the power and keys to your liberation. You are freedom herself. Rise up. The embodiment says, you deserve to feel free. What do you imagine for yourself? Daring to manifest your dreams is a part of personal liberation. Find your own personal liberation codes in your soul's unspoken desires. Life is too short to live within someone else's story. Divine blessings and magic are on your side. Enjoy your freedom fully. It is the best gift of your ancestors, Ashe. The declaration says, my dreams empower me. So let's reclaim that liberation. As Pallas moves through Scorpio and Sag, it gives you a connection to your innate wisdom, where you really do have this psychic ability or intuitive ability to just see straight through the bullshit, straight through any nonsense, non-essential, and to kind of have that laser focus on truth and sovereignty and something that's real for you. I like it. Do we want to pause for Pallas? Anyone want to touch base on her wisdom?
Kimberly.
34, 22, 37. Give it to
me. I did love the 37, but you had mentioned earlier the ages, so I had to go look it up. And it says yes, it's a cloak or a goat skin. So it sounds to me like it's something they wear, and it had the Gorgon's head. It caught my attention because of the famous Gorgon Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It must just be something they would wear, and it just had her face on it.
There you go. I like it. Thank you. We need you. All right.
Hi, Kelly. This is Rahema.
Hey. Welcome, darling. Glad you could make it live.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just curious. You said that Pallas is going to be moving through Scorpio and Sagittarius. Is that like on a monthly basis that she's going back and forth, or is it?
No. She moved into Scorpio November of 2023. She's going to retrograde and go direct back and forth through Scorpio and Sag. So she's there all the way until November 30th of this year. So from November 23 to November 24, she's in this zone of Scorpio and Sag going back and forth.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. I'm sorry I wasn't clear on that, and I forgot to mention the dates. So here we are again with a full year of her lingering in these zones. Waking up the wisdom, waking up the healing capacity, waking up your unique genius. We love her. We want to work with her consciously and heal whatever presents itself in that department, and then call on those goddesses to assist. So now Miss Juno, she rules what we're deeply wedded to, deeply committed to, which is why we chose about commitment. But in her terms, she does cover a lot to do with intimate partnerships. More than general, like you think Libra could be any kind of relationships, partnerships, or collaborations. But with her, she leans toward the intimate side of marriage. But then we just think of it as deep commitment for ourselves, whether we're dealing with marriage or not. So here she is, the Greek goddess Hera is another name, lots of names for these ladies in other cultures. The principle of relatedness, so how we relate with other people, like we said, what we commit to, who we commit to, how we do that. Her character is the goddess of marriage, the queen of the heavens, and the triple moon goddess. So all very feminine. Her glyph is the scepter for royalty. I say her glyph is a little star on top of a cross. Her symbols are crown, veil, scepter, peacock or cuckoo, pomegranate, cow as the holy heifer, and rainbow, winds, and atmosphere. She's associated with Libra and Scorpio, and her polarities are intimacy and manipulation. See how that go? Juno, this is another name for her, is Hera. She is an ancient goddess who, before she appeared as wife to Zeus in Greek mythology, was actually a powerful matrilineal queen in her own right. Hera is the original all-powerful multifunctional goddess responsible for every aspect of existence. A symbol of the complete woman. Among the Greeks, Hera was the goddess of marriage, a special goddess of women who accompanies each woman throughout every moment of her life. Her various titles point to her roles as bringer of fertility, goddess of marriage, protector of children, women, and especially during childbirth, and of money. She's also the presider over all aspects of public life. She was often represented with a peacock, symbolic of beauty, luxury, and immortality. The spots on its feathers reflect the starry firmament, and the peacock has knowledge of the weather, reflecting the ancient role of the goddess as bringer of the seasons. Hera is a mature, powerful goddess combining both practicality and nurturing, as well as a strong image of the supremacy of the queen within, which reminds me we didn't scan through the things she represents, so let's do that real quick, or did we? Now I'm not sure. I'm doubting myself. Miss Juno, come back. So after we talked about that, we should have talked about what else she does. So she's definitely the significator of your relationship zone and the pathology of your relationship. Infidelity comes up, sacrifice, fears, fear of abandonment, fear of betrayal, fear of sexuality itself, power in relationships, giving away power, subtle manipulation, children as power, God help us, projection and repression, and Juno and the powerless, okay? And so there, this must be when she's ruling Scorpio. When she's ruling Libra, it's more about the commitment and enhancing the partnerships along the way. So I apologize, I jumped around with that. So now we have to watch ourselves with our commitments and how we do that. And she's lingering October of 23 all the way to August of 24 in Virgo. So that was a solid 10 months or so. And in Virgo, we are committing to our health and well-being, you know, fitness and being healthy with ourselves, but also healthy relationships and interactions with other people, because now we're talking Juno, right? So we want that to be healthy. What does that mean to you? How do you define that? Also, we're committing to better systems for living. Let's get a rhythm. We all been out of our rhythm for the last 5 years. It's just crazy. So how can we get a rhythm that's more natural and healthy that really works for you so that you are better at partnership whenever you want to be in partnership? Also committing to nature and better habits and practices. So with Virgo, I'm always reminding people we want to let go of unconscious habits in favor of cultivating conscious practices. See how habits, you're not conscious, you're not thinking, you're just doing it. It's a habit. But practice, that's conscious. You're choosing to practice to become skilled at something. That's what Virgo is really good for. And we want to commit to, you know, like I said, healthier exchanges. There's a balance, I think. But I also have six planets in Virgo, y'all. So she's leaning on all my Virgo, asking me to rethink how I do all of it. But intentional solitude versus time with a partner or time with other people. How does that go for you? And how often do you honor the balance that is natural and works for you and is best for you? I personally have to demand intentional solitude sometimes because the folks around me don't do it, so they don't get it. So I have to just say, this is mama time, everybody out. Also, we want to explore other options, right? The other thing about Virgo routines that we get into, I can definitely testify that the part of the reason I follow the seasons, part of the reason I follow the planet is because it makes me change up on a regular basis. Otherwise, my Virgo habits and practices would be on lock, and I would just do the same thing as long as it works, right? So the problem with rolling through routines until they stop working is that then you get stopped in your tracks and you're in the middle of something and it's uncomfortable to try to set it up. It's better if you plan proper pre-planning, looking at the seasons, looking at the calendar, looking at your life and figuring out what rhythm is going to work best for you is so critical. The shadow of her lingering there so long is that we can get to being over-analytical, over-processing things. Critical, judgmental, fault-finding, all the typical shadow Virgo stuff, but also the compulsive OCD, again, where we're on autopilot and we're just doing things because this is what we've always done. No. Does it really work? Does it really serve? That's Virgo's goal. It's got to be functional. It's got to be of service. So let's think about that. And like I said, the last years for all three of these ladies I've just touched on was 2019. Think of how they reset in these same zones then, right as we went into the crazy of COVID and all that nonsense. And now for here, we're going to reset with Juno, our worthiness. We're going to release grief, and we're going to reclaim fearless love. So we're resetting with Atete, number 14, one of my favorite numbers. She's the goddess of worthiness. Oromo from Ethiopia, the Temple of Warriors, Element of Bush, the great goddess Atete, Queen of the Gods, is a fierce protector of women and girls for the Oromo people of Ethiopia. Her guidance says, stop hiding, shrinking, and playing small. Stand tall like the majestic sycamore tree. You are mighty. Life does not need to be perfect for you to embrace your own perfection. Deep breath. Okay, so that's another thing with Virgo. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for wholeness. We want it integrated. We want it woven together so it's strong and not fragmented into individual pieces where it's weak, you know. The embodiment says you matter. Worthiness is in your veins. Accept yourself now. Your birth certificate says that we need your overflowing magic, joy, and vulnerability. And most importantly, we need you. You are deserving and worthy. The beautiful parts of you that everyone likes are worth loving. The parts of you that others dislike is worth loving too. Your creator loves you unconditionally. Ashe. The declaration says, I matter. So let's reset the worthiness. What does it mean to feel worthy of love, of quality nourishment and quality food, water, air, all of these things that we are worthy of as children of God and of this planet? And we need to reclaim that. Releasing grief with Miss Allah, number 29, from Igbo, Nigeria. The Lover's Temple, the Element of Bush. Ancient Earth Mother Allah is the foremost deity, goddess that oversees motherhood, fertility, and the afterlife. After death, humans return to the womb of Allah, replanted in the soul to reincarnate. Her guidance says, give spirit your grief. Bawl it out, wail it out, cry it out. Sob, shriek, shed tears, and surrender it to Great Spirit. Ashe. The embodiment says you are holding unprocessed grief. You want to skip over it and get back to quote-unquote normal. But grief doesn't go away just because you ignore it. The only way to healing is to walk through it. Losing a loved one is the ultimate heartbreak, but you also experience grief after breakups, job loss, and disappointments in general. Self-love and self-care are required. Ask for support. Okay, that's another Virgo thing, because those of us that have strong Virgo really want to help and fix and save everybody, everybody. What I had to learn, and spirit hit me in the head hard, and this was, I think, back in late 80s, early 90s, when they said it's the highest form of ego to think you know better what someone else needs. And I stopped in my tracks with that helping, fixing, saving shit. And now I go by the rule and mantra that help has to be invited. If people ask for my help, and of course, now that it's my business, if they pay for my help, a lot of times with strangers, that's the only way I can know that they're committed. And then I can invest equally, right? So think about how Virgo works for you and how it's shown up along the way. The declaration says, I am supported by my loved ones, those who are seen and those who are unseen. That's right. Your invisible support is so big. Asking for support, being gentle with yourself, inviting it. So there's another line from one of my old circles is, I mix them up, but know what you want, ask for what you need is the way I like it, because I believe we can't really know your personal needs if you don't tell us. But it does go the other way. Know what you need and ask for what you want. You know, be vocal. Be proactive on your own behalf. It works. And so we're going to release that grief, and we're going to reclaim fearless love with Mama Oshun, number 25. She is from Yoruba side of Nigeria. Temple of Lovers, Element of Water. The goddess Oshun is the exalted Orisha of honey-sweet waters. Love, sensuality, fertility, and beauty. But the Yoruba Lady of Gold's anger and jealousy can also flood and destroy. Deep breath. Her guidance says, dare to love. Begin with loving yourself. Allow yourself to be loved. You feel everything so deeply. You are porous with a wall around your heart. This is your paradox. Okay, so porous and the wall. You can't be so open. This is when I talk about boundaries being bamboo or hemp. Super strong, super flexible, super breathable, but not brick walls where you can't sense what's going on around you, and not so porous like gauze or cotton that everything overwhelms your system. You need that happy medium in there. The embodiment says you are love and you are worth loving. Your divine assignment is to remain open to fearless love. You deserve to be loved in your own language, Ashe. You are worthy of love that remembers your beauty at your ugliest moments. Don't allow your unhealed past to block your future. Deep breath. Real love is a sacred contract that says, I am vulnerable and committed. Your heart is safe with me. Let's expand this consciousness together. Deep breath. The declaration says, I give love, I receive love, and I am love. Ashe. So with Miss Juno and our commitments, and especially the intimate ones, we need to reset our worthiness, release the grief of past disappointments, and reclaim fearless love, and know that you are worthy of that too. So deep breath. Anyone want to pop in on Juno? Commitments. Also, last time she did this, 2019.
Hey,
next time will be 2028. What's up?
Hey, it's me. It's Oyinke.
Hi, you made it. How are you?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. This is just blowing my mind the last few days of your wisdom. So I'm grateful for that. And I just want to say how resonant this whole Juno and Virgo is hitting me in some particular places, okay?
No one is exempt. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Appreciate it so much.
Yes. I need to learn so much more, but I'm just really soaking it in. Thank you.
Right? The bits that stick with you are the ones that matter. You'll circle back when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, dear.
Ashe.
Thank you. All right, y'all. Anyone else want to tap in on Juno? To our last one, Vesta. Now, Vesta don't play. Vesta is the virgin that makes you whole unto yourself. This is the virgin that can never be taken away, right? And we love her. But she's also where we focus sometimes to the exclusion of other things. And we go really, really deep with her. And she wants to make things sacred. And she also represents a lot of different things that have to do with sexuality. So it gets real deep that way, too, with her. And here we have Miss Vesta. Also, all of these ladies have different names. But in Greek, she's Hestia. Her principle is focus and commitment. Her character is the goddess of the hearth fire and priestess. So this is the high priestess within you. So let's do it the right way for Vesta. We picked a card and an intro. And so Vesta has all that good stuff about the goddess of the hearth fire. And then the other things that she represents that are pretty powerful in here. Now, her sign associations are Virgo and Scorpio. So see how we're back to the Virgin in those two as well. She helps, again, with sexuality, sex as a sin, sex and fear, sexual repression, Vesta and projection, like when we project our issues onto other people, sexual discrimination, okay? When she's ruling Virgo, it's all about the virginity, centeredness, focus, commitment, work, and then there's alienation and sacrifice that goes into that. So deep breath. Vesta is no joke either. And like I said, I couldn't find Hestia or any of the direct, you know, the same name, but I chose the high priestess for this. The priestess is the direct representative of the goddess on earth. She has direct responsibility for functions that ensure fertility and ongoing creation. Priestesses often were responsible for ensuring rain, for the goddess was the giver of dew and rain. They often tended a sacred flame, which is Vesta's symbol, is the sacred flame, anything with fire, the embodiment of the creative spark of life. The high priestess is the great goddess herself, a universal figure found in such diverse guises as Isis in Egypt, Kuan Yin throughout all of Asia, Athena in Greece, and Rihanna among the Celts. This goddess is all-knowing and all-wise. She creates life out of herself and bestows life-giving waters. At the proper time, she takes life away so that the divine spark in each person may be free to continue on its journey. The High Priestess is a reminder of the innate wisdom within each of us. She demands that we connect to the divine spark within and manifest it in the world. Deep breath. So that's Vesta for sure. And the last time she moved through this zone of Gemini Cancer, so now she's in a retrograde zone from June of 23 to June of 24, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, full year, June to June. So then later in the year, she's going to roll through after she's done. So still roll through Lee Virgo and Libra, and then I believe she's retrograding through Libra Scorpio, so that's going to be a whole nother ball of wax. But right now, she's lingering during this first part of the year, stirring things up in our Gemini Cancer department. And the last time she actually retrograded there and lingered this hard was the longest one, 1994. So we want to focus. And then this was kind of interesting. Spirit just was rolling. I was just channeling y'all. This is what happens when I start putting these bullets down. It said, with Vesta, we want to dedicate, focus, and deal with our sexual nature in some kind of way. And then I broke it down between Gemini and Cancer. So Gemini, we want to be dedicated or rededicate or begin to dedicate to networking and coordinating with others. Think Gemini, options and opportunities and different things. But with Vesta on the sacred side, right? So it's more like these classes we do and all of these sacred things we do. It's going to focus on your creative ideas, thoughts, and concepts. You know, your Gemini department, let's get focused in there. What are you writing or creating or expressing or learning or teaching? All of that's in that zone. And then big time, on the sexual side of things, we have to be able to communicate our needs. And y'all, I don't know about anybody else on here, but I need that mental stimulation. And so as she's lingering there, you need that kind of connection where sex is concerned, let's say. Where she's lingering in Cancer, it's more about focusing and dedicating to your self-care, clearing karma so that you're not needy, because that's what happens when she's in Cancer. The shadow side is being needy and insecure, clingy, and hypersensitive. The shadow side in Gemini is excessive intellectualizing, right? Everything is very superficial and on the surface. You don't go deep enough with Gemini. But here, when Cancer, we're going to dedicate to the self-care and clearing karma so that we don't repeat these negative patterns. We're going to focus on personal strength and development. That's what Cancer is really good for. And Vesta makes you sacred again. Your quality nutrient, how you process and assimilate life, digest the nutrient, take in everything you need, and release the waste. We don't want to be backed up like that. And on the sexual side, what makes you feel loved and cherished, needed and protected? That part of Cancer and sexuality needs safety. Like the Cancer part of us needs to feel safe to be that open and vulnerable. And so let's look into that. And then ironically, you know, I do shuffle these cards. I pulled for the reset, feeling safe, and we're going to release self-sabotage, and we're going to reclaim radical rebirth. So these were pretty juicy too. As we call it in with Vesta, we are going to reset feeling safe, which is number 4, Miss Tituba. The goddess of feeling safe is from Barbados, Guyana, or Salem. She's the temple of ancestors, element of air. The great ancestress Tituba was an enslaved Caribbean woman who was the first person accused in the 1692 Salem witch trial. She was most likely kidnapped from the Guyana region in South America and then sold through a Barbados plantation. The guidance says, it's finally safe to be you. Deep breath. Drink that one in. You have wandered through the dark night. Your trip has been long. There is light ahead. Your liberation is apparent. Deep breath. Embodiment says you deserve to feel secure. Feeling safe is knowing that your basic needs are met. Feeling safe is feeling at home in your own body. Feeling safe is trusting your journey. Feeling safe is feeling free around those you love. Feeling safe is trusting that the sun will rise again. If you grew up emotionally, spiritually, or physically unsafe, reset your default expectations to a healthier vibration. Ashe. The declaration says, I am safe. It is safe to be safe. Deep breath. I love it. So we're going to reset feeling safe. Again, what does that mean? How do you need to recalibrate your boundaries? Are you plugging up energy leaks, making sure that you don't have stuff going out that you didn't want to go out and coming in that you didn't want to come in? You know, how are those boundaries doing? We're going to release self-sabotage with Mam Lambo, number 24. She is the shadow of self-sabotage from the Zulu people, Temple of Shadows, element of bush. Shadow monster Mam Lambo is the brain-sucking, snake-like, water-dwelling Zulu goddess of rivers. Her guidance says you are holding yourself apart from your blessing. What ancient pain are you trying to stuff down, numb, ignore, or avoid? What does your self-sabotage help you to avoid? Deep breath. Embodiment says your inner saboteur is clever. For real, for real. Seductive patterns of behavior block your path and your power. Distractions, addictions, cravings, and unhealthy habits will not bring you your best. Your inner bully is the voice telling you that you messed up, the part of you that is jealous, the anger you don't know what to do with, your stuck inner procrastinator, and your toxic relationship choices. Stop terrorizing yourself with broken promises of discipline. This is what I meant earlier about keeping your word to yourself. But you still don't want to beat yourself up about it. Just pick up your bed and walk. Let's just go. Instead, choose devotion to your chosen pathways. What inspired action can you take today? The declaration says, I have compassion for myself, Rashe. So we're going to release self-sabotage and reclaim radical rebirth with number 5. Buya Nahanda, goddess of radical rebirth from the Shona or Zimbabwe people, temple of ancestors, element of air. Born around 1840, she channeled an ancient royal lion spirit named Nahanda, who has been incarnated by revolutionary Shona women for at least 500 years. Heralded as Grandmother Nahanda, this great ancestress was a healer who declared war against colonial occupation. Her guidance says, yes, you can. Stop the struggle. You can choose at any moment to start over and be reborn. Like the sun, you rise again and again. The embodiment says, dust yourself off, move forward, and go for it again. Life is about transition and change. You will fall on your face, you will change your mind, and you will need to make a comeback again and again. Release the idea that you messed up if things are not perfect. Stop waiting to be ready. Make new choices and decisions. The declaration says, still I rise. Ashe. So, with Miss Vesta, we're going to make ourselves sacred. We're going to go back to being the virgin whole unto yourself. Who are you there? It's your sacred part of your soul. And where's the upgrade happening around that in your Gemini Cancer department? Your thinking, your creativity, but also your self-care and personal security and the things that Cancer represents. And just know that that's what 24 is bringing. And we can circle back to check in with these ladies anytime. The divinations are all ready to go in a PDF, so you get to see those beautiful cards in the post-call notes. But I'm very grateful for those who could be here. And like I said, the goodies will go out. And, oh, I want to mention this too, that instead of the usual personal activations, which would have been pretty, let's say, complex, we're trying to simplify. So I decided in lieu of activations, you're going to get your personal placements of Ceres, Pallas, Juno, and Vesta. So you can expect one big email with the replay and a second private email directly to you with your personal placements based on your chart. Those of you who have registered or been in my system already, I've got your chart, so you're good to go. But I love for people to know where these ladies are in your own system. And I do have a couple of Elements students on here who have mentioned their placements, their personal placements worksheet. That just has the name. I'm going to give you an actual little description with it on this so that you know who she is and what she's doing with you personally. And then you want to combine that with whatever she's doing up in the sky. And there was something else. I guess the fire ceremony is next week, March 20th. Live from my backyard. Tonight we're having the biggest snowstorm ever, so hopefully it'll all be melted by then, which is quite likely. Yeye's got her book party this Sunday, for those of you who want to do that, a free event. We both welcome donations at these various things, but we love when you show up and participate even more. So thank you, everyone, for being here live. If you have any afterthoughts or aha moments, feel free to email me directly. Reach out when you need to. Thank you, everyone.